Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St. Albans and from further afield. Oh, Sir David would be proud of us. St. Albans is a hotspot of his disciples trying to cut down on plastic and recycle as much as we can of the plastic that we use. But it does seem to be causing a few issues. From people I've spoken to, we're not quite sure how we should recycle things, or how about plastic alternatives? What do we do with them? So a big thank you to all of you who tweeted at @RV_environment with your waste and recycling queries. I put them to Louise Palmer, the Waste and Recycling Officer for St Albans District Council. Louise, thank you for joining me. So just to start with, give us a very quick description of which plastics we can put in our black recycling bins.
OK, most plastics will be fine. Bottles, definitely. Punnets, that's fine. Food trays, that's fine. Shampoo bottles, that's fine. It's things to remember. If you've got a punnet of strawberries, take that bubble wrap off of the bottom.
Oh, yes.
Take
the film
off of the lid. And we can't do carrier bags in any of the bins, no carrier bags. And if you get a Sunday supplement with all the magazines in a carrier bag, you've got to take that paper out of the carrier bag, the wrapping, if you want to recycle the supplements.
So any kind of bag, any kind of film, that's a complete no-no.
Can't do it.
Now, all of those hard plastics, does it have to have a recycling logo on it before we know that we can recycle it?
What do you mean by the recycling?
Well,
logo?
Sometimes you just get a completely plain punnet and it doesn't have any indication on it.
Put that in, because if in doubt, when it gets to the MRF, the materials recycling facility, if it can't be recycled, it will just get blown out and dealt with there.
Okay.
So put it in.
Put it in. Okay. Now, there's been a lot of talk recently about black plastic food trays, the sort of black shiny plastic things you might get mushrooms in, something like that. Are they recyclable or not?
The majority of black plastic is used for ready meals, actually, and it's usually the top-end ready meals. It's believed that it makes the meal look more
scrumptious.
I guess so. Yeah. But, unfortunately, when it gets to the MRF, the infrared lasers cannot recognise the black plastic. So, again, it will just get blown out as a contaminant, and then it will probably end up as energy for waste, being incinerated or landfill when it gets there.
Okay, so there's no harm in putting it in, but it probably won't get recycled.
That's right, it won't. And it's just, there's no reason for manufacturers to use the black plastics.
Right.
And you'll find if you were to have a basics meal, it probably comes in a white food tray.
Interesting, isn't it? And it's not that it isn't recyclable either.
No, that's right. It's just a case of All the technology separating so many different types of material just cannot recognise the black.
Okay, then, well, that's a shame, isn't it? Mm. Now, how about some difficult things? How about roll-on deodorant containers? Because they're quite like shampoo bottles, but then they've got that sort of ball thing in the top that looks to be made from a different material. How about them?
Okay, well, I'm really pleased you've brought that up, because you may have seen, I'm sure you saw in the press a couple of weeks ago about all this plastic that you're putting out for, not you, but we're putting out for recycling, isn't getting recycled. It is exactly things like deodorant bottles, because in theory the bottle part is recyclable, but because it's got mixed plastics, i.e. the ball and the lid, the whole thing gets rejected. So if at home you can take the lid off and then prise the ball out, which actually is quite simple, just with a butter knife. Rinse the bottle, put that in the recycling, that's fine. But the ball and the lid will just have to go in your brown bin.
Right. OK, so that's a good point then. So anything that we're not quite sure about, if we break it down into its constituent bits, some of it might get recycled.
That's right. It's manufacturers using a mix of plastics that make the process impossible. If they just stuck to one type of plastic, it'd be fine.
So actually, that's interesting. So from those questions we've looked at so far, there are things that manufacturers could potentially change that would make all the difference.
There is loads they could be doing.
Yeah, okay. So one place where local businesses in particular are trying to make a difference is compostable packaging instead of ordinary plastic. Now, we've got some lovely local food sellers like Godfrey's Fish and Chips over in Harpenden and Charlie's Coffee here in St Albans, and they're trying to avoid conventional plastic by using compostable packaging. So Godfrey's are using their chip cartons, their trays they put the fish on, their compostable compostable straws, and then Charlie has her compostable coffee cups. But they say that people aren't quite sure how best to dispose of these. What should we do with these?
It's a really misleading product because they are compostable, but they need the right circumstances in which to compost. So a home composter is perfect. They rot down really, really nicely. If any of that is put into our food waste or our green waste bins, we would see it as contamination because it is impossible for us to work out what is vegware and legitimately compostable and what is another kind of cardboard packaging.
Right.
So because it's impossible to tell,
yeah,
it would be treated as contamination. But if you take it home, you finish your fish and chips or your coffee,
yeah,
and you've got a home composter, put it in there and that will be fine.
All right, okay, then that's a good tip. So don't put it into your green bin, because it'll just be removed from there. But you could put it into your home recycling bin and not in your food waste thing,
oh,
either.
Oh, no, definitely not in the food
waste. That wouldn't work then. Presumably that's the same for the compostable plastic bags as well.
Well, the plastic bags and all of the packaging, we're now saying that you can wrap your food waste in carrier bags or any plastic bag. Like if you buy sliced bread, that comes in plastic, yeah, bag. You can put your food waste in that. Because when it gets to the recycling plant, it goes through a process and these sort of like big scissor hands will pull out all plastics, whether they be biodegradable or a plastic carrier bag or anything like that. It will hoik out those plastics and dispose of them.
Yeah.
So That's absolutely fine in that instance.
But it will be disposing them. It won't be composting them.
Yeah, that's
them,
right. It will be
and
disposing.
I suppose, that is, as you say, it's right they do that because plastic contamination in green waste or in food waste that's going to go into farmland, that's a definite no-no as well, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, even the cornstarch bags or the compostable ones, they've still got an amount of plastic in. Almost 100% cornstarch.
Yeah, okay. Well, that actually brings me quite neatly onto the next question, which is tea bags. Now, I looked at this a little bit because I've had a few people asking me about what they should do with them. I mean, we all used to recycle our you know, just chuck the tea bags into the compost bin or into the food waste bin without giving it a second thought. Now it turns out that a lot of those tea bags are made or they contain some plastic. And I was looking at, I drink Clipper tea, which is all supposed to be quite ethical. But they say they're looking at different ways to do their tea bags, but currently they have some polyester in them. What should I do with my tea bags
yeah,
then?
They came out as one of the worst,
yeah,
didn't they? Which I was
no,
surprised.
I'm
at.
So disappointed. So disappointed. What am I going to do?
But where we were talking about manufacturers and what they can do, as
yes,
soon as this came to light and they were exposed, I noticed they suddenly all stepped up a gear and said, oh, right, we're taking it out, we're changing it. And they're making very big progress very,
yes,
very quickly.
Yes.
And it just goes to show once they're shamed into action.
Mm.
But it is well worth checking on the website what your favourite tea bag, you know, does,
yes,
or does not contain. For example, some, again, will biodegrade brilliantly in the food waste, tea pigs, for example,
yes,
because where we have the anaerobic digestion, it's heated, and so that will all biodegrade very, very quickly, whereas if you put it in your home composter, the temperature is never quite high enough for it to decompose.
Yes.
And others that use the plastic to seal the bags, again, that will all just melt and disappear if heated.
Yep.
So, again, put it in your food waste caddy. Let us take it away. Once it's treated at the anaerobic digestion plant, all that plastic will just disappear.
So we're okay to put it into our
Definitely, yeah. It's probably better to go in there than in your home composter, to be honest.
All right, okay, that's a good point. Then I'll have to start to that and hope that Clipper Tea catch up.
Yes, yeah, so we'll go switch to loose tea. And,
yeah,
know, you've got the refill pantry now selling loose tea.
That's
so
that's a very good point. I shall be down there with my reusable container. Excellent plan. Now, moving from tea to coffee, we've had another question, coffee cups. Any chance of a coffee cup recycling bin in the town centre?
There's nothing that we've got planned at the moment just because Veolia don't have the facilities to sort Tetra Pak and coffee cups, which basically is the same kind of thing, the cardboard with the plastic coating.
Yeah.
We can't sort that out at our MRF at the moment. But I noticed Costa are making a massive thing about the recycling. Bring in any cup from any chain, any shop. If it's a coffee cup, take it in there.
Right.
And likewise, although it's not at the town centre, where we have got Tetra Pak recycling in Morrison's and Harpenden, you can take your coffee cups there as well, yeah, and they'll be recycled.
Yeah, so Morrison's and the other place is in Marshallswick near the library there. There's another
that's
Tetra Pak
right,
recycling
and
there, isn't
Waitrose
there?
Waitrose and the swimming pool in Harpenden. So, right, you know, there are a few places.
Excellent. So we can put our coffee cups in there if we bring them
that's
home.
That's right. It's that similar kind of material, the cardboard, the plastic-coated cardboard.
Excellent. Well, that is good to know. Or as you say, if you're in town, you can actually take them into Costa if you don't want to bring them
home
with you.
Yeah, yeah. They've made a big commitment.
Excellent. Good to know. So one final question. Just leaving the house here, and my student daughter said to me, she said, oh, recycling. She said, why is it so different everywhere? She said, I have to learn one way whilst I'm, she's a student in Coventry, and then I have to come back and it's different. Why is it different everywhere?
It's different because every council is probably at a different stage in its contract. So we're 2 years into our contract with Veolia, and we've chosen certain coloured bins, whereas another council might just be coming up to renew their contract. Ideally, they would look at St Albans and think, oh, St Albans is perfect. That's exactly what we want to do. We will follow suit with the same coloured bins and the same setup. But the chances are one of their councillors might say, oh, no, but I like a blue bin, in which case, you know, their personal preference will, you know, they'll have a different set of bins, and also how far they are from recycling facilities as to what they can accept and what they can't, the type of properties in their district,
right,
what is easiest and best to recycle.
So things like whether there's a lot of flats, for example, that's obviously going to affect the kind of bins that you'll have. As you say, perhaps if you're close to a Tetra Pak recycling facility, it makes sense to have a collection for those. And as you say, also best practice moves on, and just depending on when you're renewing your contract, depends on what best practice is at the time, doesn't
it? Yeah, all the time. I mean, I dare say when we come to renew our contract, we will look again and see, you know, how are we doing, how are other authorities doing, yeah, what could we do better. We look all over the country, in fact, all over the world, to see, you know, what are the advances and what is the best way to capture as much recycling as possible.
Yeah.
So,
and you were just saying to me how you'd been in Portugal seeing their excellent recycling facilities there. I imagine there's a lot of people being abroad and seeing some great examples from there as well. Good to know that you're learning from them too.
Yeah, definitely. It was really, really nice to see. And yeah, it's just, I know it'd be lovely if we could replicate,
yes,
everything that they're doing abroad, but some of these schemes are hugely expensive, yeah, or they're just not right for an ancient city like St Albans, you know, the underground recycling.
Yes.
If we started digging underground, goodness knows what we would be disturbing.
Some Roman remains under there,
wouldn't
there?
Yeah.
But also good to know that all of our efforts for waste reduction are being, everybody's supporting us around the world, it's happening. So that's a good feeling
definitely,
as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
We're
and,
not alone.
You know, with the food recycling, I'm so sort of heartened to see as I drive around the district, I can see people have got their caddies out. And that is great because it's such a win-win situation. If it goes into landfill, it gives off methane, which is such a disaster for the ozone layer and
yes,
the environment. Putting it into the recycling, it's weekly, it's clean.
Absolutely.
And we get
all
energy
good
from it. So, yeah, all
super
good.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming and clearing up those questions there.
Anytime.
And I was talking there to Louise Palmer, who is the Waste and Recycling Officer for St Albans District Council. Now, I'll put a blog on the Radio Verulam website. That's www.radioverulam.com, just to remind you about those useful tips that Louise gave us there. Whilst I'm talking about the ones of the Radio Verulam website, lots of you have already listened to the Environment Matters podcast that we've got up there. You can listen to any edition of Environment Matters by going to www.radioverulam.com/podcasts, and you can also subscribe to the weekly Environment Matters podcast through your favourite podcast provider. Now, loads of you have enjoyed hearing from marathon superstar 66-year-old Jack Brooks talking about his achievements and his planet-friendly vegetarian diet, and you can find that and so many more fascinating podcasts on the Radio Verulam website. Now, this week's Open Food Gardens, where you can see how someone living near you is growing fruit and vegetables, is on Sunday the 19th of August, and that's 3 till 5 p.m. And it's at the Holt, Holtmere End Lane, Redbourne, AL37AW. You'll be able to see a self-contained vegetable and soft fruit garden with a wide range of vegetables. Additionally, at the rear of the house, they've got tomatoes, peppers and herbs grown in in pots might be interesting if you only got a confined space to go and see what they're growing there. They've also got some raised beds in which they're growing potatoes, carrots and garlic. And they've also got 5 cats, 9 alpacas and some ducks as well. So lots to be interested in there. And children are welcome, actually. So, you know, if they want to go along too, then that would be fine. They've got a great big open compost site, so you'll be able to see how that is done too. The house is at the end of Holtzmere Lane. After taking the left-hand turn at the Green Triangle, it's the third and final house on the right, and there's parking on the driveway and the grass. There's no booking required. Suggest a donation of £2 per garden visit. Oh, it says for the over 16. That's right. And children are free. No dogs, please, except assistance dogs. Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, they've got some lovely events coming up. They've got some fabulous news. They've got some hobbies, a rare bird breeding at Panshanger Park. And you can join the Panshanger Park People and Wildlife Officer Murray Brown to watch and learn about this migratory falcon. They've successfully bred there. The chicks are near to ready to leave the nest, and they hope to see the parents bringing food to the young and possibly hunting on the wing. So that's a really special thing to be able to see. They're a Schedule 1 species, obviously, so they mustn't be disturbed by law, and so you'll be viewing the birds through telescopes from a safe distance. And the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, they've got lots of dates that you could go to the website, you can see there are lots of dates that you can go and see these wonderful birds. But they do remind you that, of course, this is wildlife. Nothing is guaranteed. The little hobbies could fly off at any time, but still really worth the effort to see this really special thing. Now, do remember, you can follow me on Twitter, put your questions like listeners already have done. That's at @rv_environment. We're on Facebook too. And you can always drop me a line on amanda@radioverulam.com if you've got a comment about the show or you've got ideas you'd like us to cover. I'll be back at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.